The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 12th day of December, 2022. And tonight we have, like always, we have a whole lot to cover and we're going to get into it. And again, tonight we have standing guard for us, the courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody. Another week.
Another week. He's there. He's on that board. He's ready. He's getting better and better all the time. Wow. You know, if he was to do this until he got my age, he'd be the best.
I don't know about that one.
All right. Okay. Oh, well, somebody who's out there who is my age, way out yonder in Missouri, none other than Pastor Joe Larson, the Parson Joe Larson.
A child of his kingdom, and forever I am. Glad to be with you, boss.
Well, do you think us two old-timers can put on a good program tonight?
I think we can get through nicely, yes.
All righty. Well, let's...
Because whenever you work with the Word of God, you can't go wrong.
Absolutely. I thought you had a prayer request, so why don't you start with that prayer request?
I do. A pro-life activist, her name is Lauren Handy, and way back 2019, she was protesting, trying to stop abortions of unborn babies at an abortion clinic there in Michigan, and a judge sentenced her today to 45 days in jail with three other activists, her group, and they also added extra charges because she went limp when they arrested her. You know, what all the liberal, the social justice activists do, but they're charging her extra for that. Anyway, she's ministering in jail, and she said, my time in jail has been used to further the mission of loving and serving others wherever I am placed by God, and she's sharing stories with the girls there that she meets in prison about pregnancy and abortion and sharing the gospel message of hope and healing. And I want to ask for prayers for Lauren Handy, that her ministry in jail is fruitful and that all goes well with her.
All right. You know what? She is, that's my kind of, that's a lady. That's a real lady there, okay? And that's my kind of person. And just think about that. It would take a much lesser person to sentence her. I'd like to see that judge. I would love to have an opportunity. These black robe prostitutes to do these things, the wickedness, to get them in a place where they couldn't get away, you know, lock them in a room and not touch them. Just preach the word of God. Just preach the word of God to them, because I'm going to tell you, when that happens, and I've done that in the past, and they just want to get as far away as fast as they can. The word of God does not return void.
Oh, and so, when it convicts, and they won't admit it, but you can see it when they have to rush away and run. You know it's convicting, it's hurting.
Yep.
because you don't run from something that doesn't bother you. You can call me names all day long, and if it doesn't bother me, I can just stand there and smile at you and wave. You know, it's only if it convicts that their words hurt.
Absolutely. And so, well, let's get right into the message. The title of the message.
The prayer for her.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we were talking and we didn't pray. Go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift Lauren Handy up to you, and I don't know the name of the other activists with her, but you do, Lord. You know who they are, and as they start their jail sentence, I would ask that, Lord, that you watch over them, that you protect them, keep them safe from harm, and keep their families calm and at peace during this time, and that since Lauren is using her time in jail to serve you and reach out to others, we would just ask that you would bless her mission and bless the work that she's doing and shedding the gospel and the message, especially at Christmas time, of hope and healing. This nation needs a lot of both, and it needs your love, Father. So just bless her in every way possible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All righty. Let's get into the message, Joe. Do you remember the title of the message? It was
Baal and Moloch and Woke.
And we're going to take
kind
a look
at that.
That's an odd
combination, but we'll get there, right?
Well, we're going to talk about some things that most people don't know about. You know, they've heard about Baal and Moloch, and they've maybe read some in the Bible about them, but they really don't know the history of that. We're going to get into some of the history of that. And here, well, when we start looking at the word Baal, B-A-A-L, meaning master or lord, that was the, you know, and the counterpart of Baal was Ashtaroth. That was his wife, considered his wife Ashtaroth. Now, there was a guy named Baal in the scripture, and in fact, if you go over to Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 28, you see his grandson, but he was named after Baal, this so-called god. Now, the interesting thing was how they made it. Now, Ethbaal the third, we read in Ezekiel chapter 28, was the grandson of a man named Baal. He was the king. Now, his daughter, he had a daughter, and her name was Jezebel.
Oh.
And so...
Wicked Jezebel.
Right. Now, but he was named after his god. And his god, did you know how they created a god? Often they would build a statue of some kind, or an idol, and they believed by praying to it, it would turn that idol into a deity.
Turn stone into a deity, or wood or whatever, right?
Yeah, and so
how many times did that work for them, I wonder?
Well, today we have things called like Bitcoin and things that they're doing that with too.
Turn it into fortunes of gold, yeah.
Yeah, but anyhow, so Baal was the god of sin, god of child sacrifice, the god of pedophilia, the god of orgies, bestiality, of LGBTQ. Baal was the god of LGBTQ, and then murder, etc. That he was the god of doing whatever you wanted that you would derive pleasure from. Now, Ashtaroth was his wife, but Asherah was his mistress. Now, these other gods that they talked about, like Moloch, was his son, was considered to be a son of Baal. And there was a number of other, these local gods, if you will, and we'll name some of them as we go through here, but they were considered to be sons and daughters of Baal. Baal was like the Zeus, or considered to be like God, okay?
Right. It was kind of the head god.
Yeah. So we start there. So why don't you start actually in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 with verse 1 and read through verse 11.
All right. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he hath taken under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about into the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, unto the place from whence the rivers come, hence they return again. All things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after.
Well, here now, he calls himself the preacher. Solomon refers to himself as the preacher. Now, Solomon was one of the people, one of the very few people that had everything. I mean, Job at that time was a contemporary, and they were both very, very, very wealthy. Or not Job, I'm sorry. No, Job was a contemporary of Abraham. But here Solomon, he was the one person in the Bible that did have everything. He was given wisdom above all other men, wisdom, power. He had riches, all he could ever want. He had honor, and he had a very good reputation, and he had God's favor. Now, can you imagine that here? Now, but Solomon is sounding very sarcastic, and the reason Solomon messed up, did he? Here's the wisest man there ever was, and boy, he messed up.
Big time. Well, he took a bunch of heathen wives that led him astray, and he didn't always listen to what God had told him to do.
Yeah, so we'll get into that as we go through here. But if you the entire book, the point that Solomon is making, and he does this, and here's where you see his wisdom as you go through. If you're listening very carefully to what he's saying, he's telling you that earthly possessions and accomplishments are ultimately futile. All of the things, your accomplishment of you're the best baseball player in the world or you're the best, and ultimately they're futile, because at the end of all things, at the end of your life, only the pursuit of God is going to bring real satisfaction. And he's talking about
everlasting life. There's even in the Old Testament, there was if you were faithful, you had the promise of a future, hope of resurrection.
Right. So Solomon had all these stables, all these horses. You know, in those days, whoever had the most horses had the biggest, the most power. Okay. And then he had all of these wives, and in those days, whoever had the most wives had the most riches. I don't know how they could with all those wives to spend their money. But
yeah, it seems like it'd be a quick way to go bankrupt.
Yeah, and so
unless you put them all to work.
So he's making these points here now, and he also makes some points that, he's actually talking about the natural currents and the natural climate changes that we have that God has built in. There is no global warming. All of these things, that this is the biggest farce, and yet the poor, simple-minded young people, those poor, simple-minded young people are eating this stuff up. They're falling for it. They're buying it hook, line, and sinker. but it's the biggest farce that's ever been played. Now, Solomon knew, and he was the wisest man never was, that these were all the natural circuits of things. And here, like he tells you, the rivers continue to run into the ocean, but the ocean never gets full. Why? Well, you know, if you took all of the glaciers and they did melt, it wouldn't raise the ocean up, because the water that they displace, you know, beneath the water line, if it was to melt, it would level out.
Yeah.
And so, and there's an easy way.
That with a full glass of ice, pour water in it right up to the top of the rim, let it sit, and it will not overflow.
No, it's easier to do that. Take two cups identical, two glasses or cups identical. Now, fill them up, put a couple ice cubes in one and not the other, but fill the glasses to the very same level. Set them next to each other, same level, and watch what happens when those ice cubes melt. That'll be the same level.
Level, right.
You see? But see, that's common sense, and common sense within the world of liberalism is illegal. You can't use that.
I keep forgetting that.
And so here, so he's telling you, so all of these things, the circuits, and then he gets in over there, and he says, the thing that has been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything therewith may be said? See, this is a new thing that hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come. With the same, with those that they shall come after. Now, I had to laugh because the other day I was watching, and they had this like little commercial on the internet, and it was talking to these kids, you can be like Elvis. And then two of the kids looked at each other, teenagers, and said, who's Elvis?
Who's Elvis?
Right. And so, you know, here, now, Elvis has been gone for a long time, and his music has been around, but it won't always be. It'll be gone. And, well, I mean, look today. If you look at the young people in the colleges, they don't even know who Christopher Columbus was. I remember watching those three girls there from Berkeley. They were being interviewed, and they asked them who was Christopher Columbus, and their answer was one of our early presidents. They're clueless, okay? But
they didn't know who we fought during the Revolutionary War. I mean, you know, it's pathetic, the things that they don't know. But even look, he's talking here. We had all the people that before the flood, there was a lot going on, and after God's flood, it's all gone. But he's saying even then, because he has knowledge that came from on high, and that all those things had already been done before the flood, and they're going to do them again, right?
Well, I think he's going a little deeper than that. Remember what we saw before the flood. You know, what they call technology today, our greatest technology that we have today is really child's play in most cases. Now, there's some things that's happening that is there that is in a spiritual realm, like with CERN and others. It's a whole different story. But for the most part, you know, you have these fallen angels, and they had abilities that were much more high-tech, if you will, than what we have today in most cases. And so, now remember something, what he said, too. What has been will be. The population of the world at that time was about 8 billion people, according to most historians and theologians, from what they consider the time, the lifespan, the genealogy from Adam and Eve, okay, into the flood to Noah. And so it was about 8 billion, or 8 billion was the population, and that's where we're at today. And it's an interesting thing because you had all of this satanic activity, just like you have today. You had Noah, a preacher of righteousness, preaching for 120 years. People stopped listening to him, just like what's happening in America today. The vast majority of people, we have a lot of preachers, but the vast majority of people aren't listening to him today.
Right.
They're becoming more and more clueless, okay? And then the same thing. They were marrying, giving in marriage today. Marriage and divorce is on the same track. As many people get married, gets divorced nowadays. It's unbelievable.
We're marrying, same sex, and they're trying to even put that out where two or three people in a group can be married. And
well, that's the kind of thing. Before. That's the kind of thing that brought on the flood.
Yeah.
That's exactly what brought on the flood. Exactly what was happening then is happening today. You know, America was not this degenerate. Do you remember even when we were youth? America was a much better nation, a cleaner nation. It had, there was things like honor and integrity and decency. What, back in those days, I remember one of the worst things that could happen back in those days, if you'd be called a gigolo or a bum, you worthless bum. That was talking about men who refused to work and take care of their families. And I remember back in those days, too, if a woman was called a whore, that was those were fighting words, okay? Today, these young girls, these college girls, are calling themselves whores, okay?
And they use the B word with each other all the time. You be this, you be that. It's just commonplace.
They had, I was watching where they had this, I'm trying to think of there, in Mexico, where the kids go for spring break. Anyhow, they had one of these college bars, and they were interviewing them in there, and they were interviewing this girl. She was just, hardly had any clothes on, and they were talking to her, and she says, "That's my man." She pointed to this guy who was over there with a couple other. She says, "I'm his number one whore. I'm his number one whore." Okay. In other words, like
she had others.
Yeah, and so this was really changed. I mean, the way things were. Okay, so that's the way it was back before the flood. Okay, and we're seeing these things happening here. And so, let's go now over to Hosea chapter 9, and let's pick it up in Hosea chapter 9, starting with verse 7.
All right.
Verse 7 through 10. Well, actually, let's go all the way through. Let's just read all the way down through verse 14, or 15.
Okay, 7 through 14, or?
No, 7 through 15. 17.
Okay, through 15. Okay. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways and hated in the house of God. They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeon. Therefore he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb, and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe unto them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters.
Joe, by this time, Israel began to experience the consequences of his sins. It was no longer, they quit listening to God's warnings, and they just tuned out God's prophets. Now, here, the Baal Sodomites had gathered around a house. We're going to take a look at that. Verse 9, when they have deeply corrupted themselves as the days of Gibeah, therefore, it's Gibeah, he will remember their iniquity, he will visit their sins. Well, that days of Gibeah, we're going to look at that in Judges 19 tomorrow. Yeah. But they had gathered themselves around the house to demand that the male visitor, a seafaring man, that came out, come out so that they could LGBTQ him. So that's what they wanted to do. But we'll pick it up because, you see, God has said this is a very vile, vile sin. Okay, and we're going to take a look and see today, because not only do your public school systems and as the Democratic Party promote sodomy, the LGBTQ, as a legitimate lifestyle, they promote it as a preferred lifestyle. We'll be back right after this. Hey, Joe, that song was written by Joyo Correa, and that was him playing that guitar. And he is the head of the group, singing group Encounter. But those two beautiful voices from those two beautiful ladies, Lisa Starling and Lisa Kish, I met those ladies some years ago. They came out and to help us raise money for Right to Life, for the Right to Life cause, and they came out to entertain one of our concerts, or fundraisers. So what a beautiful voices they have. And so, and they were two very, very pretty ladies. So anyhow, we're going to switch now. Let me make a fast announcement. Fast announcements are that these people ask me, Wendy from Apothecary Herb, Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herb is having a Christmas sale, folks, and it's 30% off through New Year with some restrictions. There are some restrictions. So give her a call and find out. And boy, I tell you what, remember what I was telling you earlier, Joe, about how I can sleep now? So the folks out there understand something.
Definitely. You were too really happy about that.
Well, yeah, because I tore up my shoulder, folks, and I'm going to have surgery. But before I can even have the surgery, I've got to strengthen. It's a long story, but anyhow, Wendy has
a lot of painful therapy, is a long story short.
Yeah, but a lot it's been very, very, very painful. But Wendy has pain and inflammation product, and she sent me a great big bottle of it. And also she has the circulation, because what was happening is causing my circulation in my hands. It was terrible, terrible. And so I've been taking that, and because I can take that at night now, I can sleep. But it was very, very hard to get that, and boy, I'm going to tell you, the old devil tried to knock me out of it again, but I'm back. Anyhow, I've got to tell you about this too. Oh, her number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or go to thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, and you can find out all of she's all natural medicine, real natural medicine, what God has given us to fight off these diseases that Fauci and his counterparts have put upon us. Also, this coming Sunday, because people wanted to know about the this coming Sunday service, very quickly just tell you, folks, that, of course, we always start with a Bible study at 8:30 in the morning, and then the regular service starts at 11:30, and then we're going to have our Christmas dinner, our church dinner. We have it a week before, because Christmas falls on Sunday this year, and of course it's tradition that you spend Sundays with your families. And we're going to have a morning service, but then the rest of the day we spend with our families. And also, then, but this coming week, you're going to have a different. Now, always, Joe, we always have a current event, the Bible and current event, Bible and current event. And in a way, we're going to do that this week, except for it's going to be different. We're going to be showing a film who the ladies, some of the ladies in the church think is the very best nativity movie they've ever seen about the birth of Christ. And we're going to be showing that at 4 p.m. this coming Sunday, Lord's willing. And then at 6 p.m., Pastor Hal is going to be preaching the evening service. And
that kind of fits in with the Christmas season. That sounds like a good plan.
Well, and that's right. And we're going to be, I'll be preaching Sunday morning, Lord's willing, the Christmas message, part one. It's a two-part message. So, and it's one of my favorite messages to preach, because no matter, every time I preach it, I have all these 50 years, I preach it a little differently. Because there's so much wisdom and knowledge in God's Word, the Bible, in there.
There sure is, and it's every time we go into it, we find something we didn't see before.
Absolutely.
You would think after all the years, but it keeps happening. So God keeps opening our minds to go deeper and deeper into His Word.
Absolutely. And so, speaking of that, we've got to do some rapid we really have to do some rapid lightning rounds. So here you go.
Well,
let's start
first,
out. Go ahead.
I've got something. You had been talking a long time about the pedophilia in the Democratic Party. Here today, John Griffin, a former senior producer for CNN, who was accused of child sex crimes quite a while back, pleaded guilty in federal court. It was from the AP, Associated Press, and he's 45. He's facing, 10 years to life in prison, a large fine, and final sentencing will be in March 23. But they did knock off two of the three charges for this man. He was giving money to people, to women. He gave money to a mother to plane tickets so she could fly her 9-year-old daughter to Nevada, from Nevada to Boston Logan. And they flew there where he picked them up and took him to his house. And the daughter was directed to did engage in unlawful sexual activity. And some of it I don't even want to go into on the radio, what he did to these young girls. But he trained them, some of them as young as 7 years old, to be, you said it earlier, whores. He said that all women are the not delicate angels. They are naturally the dirtiest sluts possible, quote, in every metric, and they need to be trained to be good sluts. And he was going to teach them all about how to be spanked and other kind of sick things. There you have, this is about the third story on a major Dem donor or news personality into pedophilia, all in the Democrat Party.
Well, here's the interesting thing. You'll find out about that. The people, the very same people, Joe, that are ones out there talking about the carbon footprint, about the... And these are the very same people out there, the very same people that are talking about, for example, Tucker Carlson just did a tremendous tonight. He was showing how Al Gore, how John Kerry, how... all of these different people, these rabid environmentalists, how they, 1%, the 1% of the population are responsible for the vast majority of all the pollution, the carbon footprints. He named them all the way down the line. Klaus Schwab, the sodomite from who is supposed to be the head of transportation.
Peter Buttigieg.
Yeah, Buttigieg.
All those people live in mansions, have private jets, have big yachts, huge, what's his name? You just said it first, has a big, huge mansion down south.
Al Gore. Yeah.
Each house that they said, small city, he uses as much power as a small town does.
Yeah. So the hypocrisy, to us, hypocrisy is a repulsive thing. To us, to them, hypocrisy, to them, is something to be embraced. They actually, if you know these people, you talk to them, they believe that their wealth and their power puts them beyond the law. That children, if they want children to have sex with, if they want children to do whatever they want because their money and their power, and include Hillary Clinton in on that big time, that they should be able to do whatever they want. That means even if it means killing children, sacrificing children. Folks, I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you. Adrenochrome, drinking blood, okay? Or, whatever they want to do with these children, eating them if they want to, folks, they believe they should have the right that they're... Now, this is where we get into the title of the message tonight.
Well,
because
back in the beginning, the drinking of the blood at these orgies back in the Old Testament that God was so against was the same thing going on today, right?
All right. Hold on. I'm getting a message because we have not opened the phone lines at all, but we have Attorney Lynch's calling. He usually has something important to talk about when he calls. It better be important. Bob, you're there.
Absolutely. Yes, Pastor, yes. And Pastor Joe. Can you hear me?
Hi.
We can hear you.
Yeah. Okay, this is very important. Pastor Joe mentioned about Lauren Handy. Well,
yeah.
Lauren is a client of mine. Now, Lauren had a little incident up here in the Cleveland area at an abortion facility. So I represent her, but it's on hold right now. But I just wanted to mention two things. Number one, Lauren is the most pleasant, sweet, high-spirited lady. You'd never guess that she's going around and get arrested at these different facilities across the country. She's part of this Red Rose Rescue. Are you familiar with those, Pastor? Well,
I certainly am. I'm familiar with both the Red Rose and the White Rose operations.
Well,
yeah.
This is the deal. Lauren was up here in Cleveland doing the Red Rose Rescue, and the cops were not very nice to her. They pushed her around a lot. No bruises or cuts that we could get pictures of or anything, unfortunately. But so she's used to this. She's a real veteran. But like I say, she's got a real sweet spirit about her. And Joe, I'm glad you brought up her name because she needs, well, she is going around and she's evangelizing in jails, just like you did, Pastor. So they might let her go early just so she can to stop her from doing that. Now, here's the other thing, Pastor. Tomorrow morning in Michigan, near Detroit, they're having a trial of these other Red Rose Rescue people. One of them is Monica Miller, who I think you've had on at some point in time, and some of the others. So I would just ask your audience to pray for them. Starts tomorrow morning, and of course, the judge ruled the word abortion not be mentioned, and that the necessity defense, depending on another individual, cannot be used. You know, all the rules that these judges typically throw at the pro-lifers. But there is a real good attorney up there by the name of Robert Muse. He's real good. I think you might have even had him on the show at one point.
Yeah, the name's
so
familiar.
Yeah, he's real good. And with a name like Robert, how could he go wrong, right?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. He is doing that case tomorrow morning, you know, the cards are stacked against them because, like I said, the word abortion can't even be used. Thing is, these jurors aren't that dumb, Pastor. They learn just from all the implications and just hints. They know this thing is about abortion because these women are giving roses. They're trying to appease. If you remember Operation Rescue, right?
Well, yeah, I was in the beginning of it, yeah. I led up the first Operation Rescues in this area.
I well remember, yes, and you've got all the scars to approve it.
But well, I had a pretty good lawyer at the time right there.
Well, who, I have to admit, you did.
Yeah, who won all the cases for me, yeah.
I bring that up because a Red Rose Rescue is kind of a version of Operation Rescue, where they don't block entrances, but they do approach the patients and they give them a rose and they try to talk to them and they have some success. And then they go limp when they are arrested. So it's similar. But the reason I'm calling now is because tomorrow morning for the next 2 days, they're going to be in jury trial. And I'd ask your audience to please pray for them. And pray for Lauren, too. Lauren, her case doesn't come up. It's been in suspended animation now for the last several months. So when that comes up, I'll give you a call.
She's
going
to go to jail now. They put her in jail is what the news report is.
Yeah. That's what I understand. Yeah. I've had trouble getting in touch with her. It's really hard to. But actually, she has a lawyer down there in the D.C. area. And so. I don't know anything about that case. I do know
okay.
about the Red Rose Rescue.
Now tell us again, because look, now did you say this? She's in D.C. Lauren's in D.C.
Yeah, this is a whole different. This is a second case. There's a whole separate case that's going tomorrow in the Detroit area.
Yeah,
that's a jury trial starting tomorrow. So please, I have your honor, keep that in prayer.
Okay, we don't have many. We don't have many followers in the D.C. area, that's for sure, except for when we go there. But now, we're on three stations in Michigan. We're on a we're on a big station right in Detroit. And now, if you know the name of the pardon?
Yeah, it's the Oakland. It's like O-A-K-L-A-N-D. It's the Oakland County or Oakland Municipal. I don't know if it's a city or a county, but it's the Oakland courthouse. And it would be easy for the people up there to find out. And heck, if they want to go and swarm the courtroom, you know how
these things usually start right about 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I got the word to start about 8:30, but that's okay. You know, they get there in the morning and they can go in different shifts just to show that the people there have support. And then you know, usually drives the judge crazy, but that's okay. You know, you need to keep them in line too.
Absolutely. Well, here's what we need to do. We need to pray. Look, you folks out there in Michigan, you know, you need to support this woman. You really do. You need to support these people that are going to, in that Oakland courthouse, you need to show up there. You need to show up. And I'm going to tell you, folks, you know, there's nothing, no ministry any greater than the pro-life ministry out there today. The children are God's most innocent. They're most innocent people. And the pro-lifers get treated there because of that. The enemy comes against them. The lesser people, these so-called judges, that would sentence people like Lauren and that to prison for saving babies, these are much lesser people. I wish that I could just get a hold of them, you know, get them in a place where they couldn't get away and just preach them heaven sweet hell hot. You've seen me do that, okay?
And remember, Pastor, they're fighting a big battle up there under that new constitutional amendment that just passed in Michigan.
Yeah,
they are fighting that. And remember, that battle is coming to Ohio. Planned Parenthood, ACLU, they're all lining up. They're same thing for Ohio. It probably won't be till late next year or maybe the following year. But they want to get the same type of constitutional amendment in Ohio. So we got to be prepared to...
We really have to. You know, Bob, while I got you here, let me just tell the folks about you. Mm-hmm. This is Robert Lynch. You've been my attorney. He was one of our attorneys for, 40 years? And in that time,
I started when I was in grade school.
So. We had many cases, okay? But in those cases, you and I never compromised. We never stood down. And in those cases, in one case in particular, you know, the Lord really intervened, and that was the case of John, the fellow that was a little slow. Mm-hmm. He had, and he was accused of stealing a police commander's badge, which he never did.
Oh, that's right.
And pardon?
That's right.
Well, the police commander's badge was found outside a whorehouse. John, who is like a, I would say maybe, what did you say, 10 or 12 year old mentality, had
something like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, he found this badge and he decided that he was going to try to impress some people. And he went into the YMCA when he was washing his hands at the sink. He set this badge down on the sink, was open so the other guys could see it. Well, there was a real cop in there, and he saw that, and he recognized the name on the badge, and he immediately arrested John. Long story short, a lot of things happened in between there. When John had first called me, that's how I put him in touch with you, and he had told me, he said, I need help, and you know, he had a really bad childhood. He was virtually, him and his brother were deserted by their parents. They were just, you know, they were abandoned by their parents when they were little children. And so they went from foster home to the streets and whatever. But the long story short is, I asked him when he called me, do you know the Lord as your Savior? He said, oh, Pastor, I don't have time for religion. He said, I'm in big trouble. I says, you're in more trouble than you think. You're really in trouble. Let me tell you. And I told him about hell. I preached to him on hell, and then I preached to him on heaven, and he received Christ as his Savior that day.
He came around.
Yeah, we went into the court. Do you remember the judge said, "I want to hear every word of your conversation with him." And I said, "Are you sure?" She said, "Yeah." And she got it, didn't she? She got the whole shooting match on hell, on heaven and hell. And just sat there like she was mesmerized. She sat there holding her head with her hands, and it was mesmerized. I probably preached for over 30 minutes. And so I looked at you, and you had the strangest look on your face. You weren't expecting that, were you?
Well, it's good to see these judges put in a shock once in a while.
And so then she looked at the police commander. She said, "Do you still want to press charges?" He said, "No, I just want my badge and I want to get out of here." And so John got set free, and we got him in church.
And where he found the badge out in front of the whorehouse?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good. All right.
That's where he found it, and they got the money. It was the wallet and the badge. And the, pardon? I didn't hear you.
I'm saying I think you saved that judge's soul the same day. No, John, but you.
I hope so. We had praise the good Lord. Let's
Okay, guys. I gotta get my beauty sleep, but listen, pray for those folks. As this other case with Lauren that we got here in the Cleveland area, as that progresses, I'll keep you posted, and maybe I'll even get her on the air.
Yeah, tell her. I'll put her on, and we'll turn out people here in Cleveland. She comes in Cleveland. We'll turn some people out in that courtroom. I want to be there myself.
I know you do. I know you do. I love it when you guys bring your crowd in, man. It intimidates the judge.
Yeah. All right. Well, they do behave differently when they know the people are watching.
There you go. But don't bring in too many Bibles. You know, let's shake them up.
All righty.
One Bible. All right. God bless. I'll let you go.
God bless you. Thanks. All right. We're coming up. We're coming up to a break. How much time do I have? It's almost break time.
40 seconds.
Okay. All right. We're going to a break here. Pardon?
Yeah, just about a minute, looks like.
We don't even have that. We got about 30 seconds right now.
Oh.
And then I'm glad I took that call because I needed to know that. When we come back, Joe, let's find out, will SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, take this one on? We'll be right back after this. Folks, you want to hear this.
Fight the fight. Fight the lie. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.